That in Mark chapter 4, Jesus was speaking and he said that the kingdom of God can be likened to the seed that a man sows in the ground, and you know, it's a very small seed, but when it grows up, it becomes mighty. And this is the point I want to make. And that is the fact that anything that's present as a seed, under the appropriate circumstances, it will germinate and become a great thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, if it's a good seed, like the kingdom of God, it will become something great in the good side. But if it's a bad seed and it's not uprooted, it will become something negative. Great, but on the negative side. You understand my point? So the heart of man, actually, like Jesus will say, is where the seed is planted. And we're explaining about turning to rain. I told us that now that anything that is, if the kingdom of God is inside your heart or birthed inside your life, it automatically rises to the top. And that the thing that will prevent it from rising to the top are what we call, when we read from Isaiah chapter 2, what? Influences from the east. If you were not around, I think you should get the previous tips. Now, then we're explaining that, I think it would be good to just refer to it now, Isaiah chapter 2. God was speaking that in the last days, glory will come upon the house of the Lord. You know, I'm just paraphrasing that in the light of what we have said up to now. We're now saying, what will be the hindrance to this? In verse 5, it said, come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you, speaking to the Lord now, have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob. Why? Because they were not walking in the light of the Lord. You understand that? And they didn't because they were filled with influences from the east. And they are soothsayers like the Philistines. And they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. I will explain that what that means is that when people begin to do things the way people around them do it. Or in fact, if I may just explain this again. That when the Bible talks about Adam eating of the tree of life or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what it was saying is, if you eat of the tree of life, you have subjected your will to the will of God absolutely. That is, God decides what is right and what is wrong. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that it is not your opinion. But when you say you are walking after, you have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that is, what you think is right is now right. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, if you go to, well, very common, at least legislation-wise, in maybe United States and a lot of places in Europe, they will tell you that it is all right, it's a matter of choice, okay, to be a homosexual and to take a homosexual partner in marriage. All right, they say it's a matter of choice. And they have shown scientifically, they think, that it's a matter of choice and there's nothing wrong with it. But God said in the scriptures that it is an abomination. Now, abominations are not breaking of laws. Now, when I say breaking of laws now, if somebody does an abomination, it means that whether God gave an express commandment or not, okay, the thing is inherently dangerous to the human race. That's the meaning of the word abomination. God could tell you, you must remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. If you break the Sabbath, it's not an abomination. You understand what I'm saying? That it is a breaking of a covenant that God cut on Mount Sinai with the children of Israel, in which he told them, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Do you understand what I'm saying? That God will tell them that the firstborn out of every womb, a male, is given over to God. It belongs to God. Now, anyone who doesn't give it is a thief and a robber. He has not committed an abomination. Do you follow me? But the one, even though God does not give a commandment against homosexuality, the one that gets involved, the Bible says it is an abomination. That's the meaning of the word abomination. Things that are so dangerous seeds into the human race that will lead to the termination of the race, the whole race, if it is not checked. If I may just enlighten us further, that's why you read the commandments of God sometimes. They appear so cruel. That is, let me explain. God will tell Saul, go to the Amalekites and utterly destroy them. Get what I'm saying? He's talking about destroy. If you meet a 90-year-old man, they kill him. If you meet a 9-year-old day infant, kill him. It's not funny. I mean, today they will sue God into that's International Court of Justice for human rights abuses and genocide. Sometimes when I'm watching things happening on CNN and people are grumbling, me, I look with spiritual eyes. I said, if this was David, do you know what David would have done under the circumstances? And God would have said, okay, boy. Now, God, what God used to do that time, if I might just explain, is that he will send the people to go and destroy a nation of peoples that have been filled absolutely with abominations so that they are no longer redeemable. And if I might just say this to you in passing, Don't think that everybody born in that land would die. God will have moved the people he wanted to save out of that place before the invaders will arrive. That's how he does it. He will always deliver the people. I mean, look at Ruth. Ruth was a Moabitess. You know what I mean? It was from Moabite, all right? Now, is it Moab? Ruth, from Moab. Yet God had commanded them that they must not marry from there, and descendants of Moab must not enter into the temple. But there was an issue. Moab forsook her, Ruth forsook her people, and thereby shed herself of that abomination that they were to God, and said, your God will be my God, your people will be my people. What am I saying? If when it was time to destroy the Amalekites, one or two or three people that God saw something good in them, he would just cause them to travel at that point in time. Are you following what I'm trying to say? Now, I'm just saying those things in passing so that we understand that. So, when I'm talking about eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when we say we will decide what is right and what is wrong, what we are doing is eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And now, if you eat of the tree of life, what you are saying is that whatever God says is correct is what I take as correct, whether I feel like it or not. Again, let's look at that word ambassador again. If you say I'm an ambassador of a nation, it means that when CNN comes and say, what do you think about the bombing in London? I will not tell you my personal opinion. Whether I'm a Muslim extremist at heart or not is not the issue. The issue is that my nation thinks it's a bad thing, so I will tell you it is a bad thing. So if you're an ambassador of Christ, therefore, you don't tell people what you feel. Let me just say the truth, my opinion. No, you have no opinion. Who gave you opinion? You understand my point? You have no opinion. Your opinion is the one you have been commanded to think. I like one film I watched long ago, The Green Beret. One guy introduced himself and his sergeant. He said, we have been ordered to volunteer to answer your question. I said, that is a real Christian. He said, we have been ordered to volunteer. Say, you go and volunteer to answer their questions. I said, this is a real Christian. That is how the life of a Christian is. You know what I feel like? Is the order says this thing is bad. If I may just say this again in passing without digressing too much, if you constantly say in agreement with God that something is bad, after some time your flesh responds and says this is bad. That's why if you read Philippians chapter 1 verse 9, Paul said you have to learn to approve the things that are excellent. That is, you will look at something and say it is good. Even though your body doesn't feel like it is good, it becomes good after some time, even in your feeling. Charles Finney said, feelings follow thoughts. That is your thinking pattern that your feelings respond to. So the person who is eating of the tree of life has taken the word of God as a standard for his thoughts, and his feelings will eventually unite with that. You'll be surprised that some of the things you think are good, they only feel good to you because they said they are good. That is, everybody said this is good. In reality, you don't know whether it is good or it is not. So, why am I saying all of this? That there is a seed inside the heart of everybody, and that seed, whichever one it is that you have imbibed, will definitely produce fruit at a point in time. Now, get what I'm saying? Now, so, I said that it will definitely produce fruit at a time, at a point in time, and the fruit is automatic. Now, what you need to do is to sow the right seeds. And we explain that if the kingdom of God is inside you, that is, you have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it means that the right result will be brought to be in your life. Remember, I said something earlier, that the only reason why the kingdom, why you will not rise to the top, we're talking about influences from the east, is because you have become filled with the opinions of other people apart from the opinion of God. Now, what I want to share with us today, the few minutes that we have left, is where we read. Now, I read it at the beginning just to ensure that I have no choice but to discuss it. But it appears like the trick did not work, all right? That's 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It might be good for you to just open your Bible back there. We read from verse 5. Let me just read verse 8. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Something here is interesting. Because if you go further down in, I think, chapter 5, verse 18, it said, we know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ, that is the true God and eternal life. It said, little children, if I might add my own word, therefore, guard yourselves from idols. Now, if you don't understand the scriptures well, you would think this guy was confused while he was writing. He started by saying that if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and we are calling him a liar. Then at the end, he said that we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Do you get the point I'm making? Now, I won't go into the details of the exegesis. I will just try and bring out a few points. And number one is this. Notice what he said at the beginning. He said, if we say we have no sin, what's really happening is that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. I am saying to you that if you are walking in the light, there is a sense of continuous practice here throughout the whole book. If we are walking in the light, that is opposite to walking in darkness, which is what he said, if a man is born of God, he does not sin. That it is not his habitual practice to walk in sin. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, he said that if we are walking in the light, the blood of Jesus is constantly cleansing us from all sin. Now, if we say we do not need this cleansing, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. He said, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word, which is light, is not in us. Well, now, we discussed this some time ago, but I'd like to just bring out a few points which is appropriate for this, our teaching. Now, please listen to me very attentively. I'll just try and make sense out of everything. For those of you who did physics, you did physics, eh? Kingsley did not do physics. That's why he studied law. Oh, you did? Okay, all right. You did physics. George, you did physics. Good. That's why you're studying medicine. All right. Anyway, now get a point here. I was taught in physics that the fastest thing on earth is light. That every object accelerates and gets to and approaches the speed of light. Light exists, the speed of light exists. But that no physical matter really can attain the speed of light, but it can constantly get closer to it. Now, I won't explain the details because it's a long theory thanks to Albert Einstein. All right? The reason is simple. The closer you get to the speed of light, the more energy you need to increase your speed further. And then just before you hit the speed of light, you need enough energy to move the whole of the universe. So you are constantly set sublight. You understand my point? But you will constantly move forward. What am I saying? Jesus is the light. Now, get what I'm saying? He is moving in righteousness at the speed of light. And he is a guiding speed for every child of God. And every distance between the speed of light in Jesus Christ and the speed you are currently traveling on is called sin. Let me explain this. Sin is not a moral issue with God. It's not. It's not. I told you people not to tell lies. Now, all of you are telling lies. You have hurt my feelings. That is not God and sin. This is what sin is. I have given you a car. My name is God. I made a car and gave it to you. And I said, here you pour fuel. Here you pour water. That's the radiator. This is the fuel tank. Then you take fuel and pour into your radiator and take water and pour into your fuel tank. Now, whether I'm angry with you or not, the car will spoil. Do you get my point? The car will catch fire. It has nothing to do with whether I am angry or I am not. Now, if I'm your father, I will be angry that you are wasting the car that I gave to you. But the idea of sin is that you have put water in the wrong place and fuel in the wrong place. Are you getting my point? That is why sin has been described as a falling short of the glory of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, so John was saying, therefore, now let me say this again. It's not a matter of God is angry. It's a matter of fact. It's a scientific fact that sin is bad. You understand what I'm saying? Now, but there's the power of the blood of Jesus. Well, I'll talk about that in a moment. But this is how it works. So John was saying, as you are walking in the light, the more the amount of light you see, the more the amount of change that your life requires is exposed to you. So if you are walking in the light, every day you will see occasion for improvement. Until the day you die, you will see occasion for improvement. Now let me say this. I said earlier that every seed that is inside you will germinate and bear fruit. Do you understand me? Under correct circumstances. Now, if you have the seed of evil in you, what it does is to bring out evil fruit later. Let me explain what I'm saying. I read a man of God in one book I have, Heritage of Great Evangelical Teachings. There are many great men that their writings are inside that book. But I don't know which particular one, or which one of them said this. He said that was a man of God. All right? And what I want to tell you now is a fact. The degree to which David did not fully yield his heart to God as a young man was a degree that he offended to in the case of Uriah. Do you understand my point? That is, the seed of that iniquity was there. Now, God, listen to me, God could have caused David to live and die without that thing germinating. But there will have been a problem. The next time somebody sins like David, David will have taken vengeance rapidly, not knowing that the same seed inside that guy lies inside here, and therefore I am not permitted to pass judgment. Let me say this to you. There is a reason why Jesus said, those of you without sin, cast the first stone. And I don't know whether you can receive this or not. He was saying, those of you here that have not committed adultery, he wasn't saying if you have not told lie. Amongst these men carrying the stone, tell me the one that have been faithful to his wife alone since he got married. And none of them. So he said, listen, Jesus was not merciful per se like that. The idea is that he told them, you do not have the right to pass judgment. It was a simple fact. If you do not have sin, cast the first stone. That is, you will be the one judging the woman, and everybody else will be with you, just helping you out. Now, I'm explaining something here, that David, inside him, there was a seed that was not right. And God said, if I don't allow this thing to grow, this guy will never know it is there. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, this is what they call walking in the light. When occasion brought the word of God to him, and Nathan began to rebuke him, he instantly began to plead so that God might cleanse him of all secret faults and errors that he could not understand. Now, there's a reason why I'm going through all of this. So John was saying, if you say that you have no sin, you are telling me that you are walking absolutely perfectly and therefore need no cleansing by the blood of Jesus constantly. And he said, you are making him a liar. And the truth is not in you. The fact is that if the truth was in you, it will expose another thing to you. Now, I don't have time to explain this, but that was the problem of Job. Job walked perfectly in the way that he knew. His first three friends tried to explain to him that he made mistakes. Said, tell me what I did wrong. Elihu just brought out a point to him. God is your standard. And are you telling me you have reached God's standards? Job said no. He said, so what's the problem? No, a lot of us think that Job absolutely suffered for righteousness. That is half true. The other half of the truth, which you had to add to it, is that
David said, if God were to number iniquity, even Job would not stand. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That if God were to number iniquity, Job wouldn't stand. And so what God just did was to number small iniquity. To wake up to the fact, to wake Job up to the fact that no matter how rightly you have done before your eyes, you need the blood of Jesus that cleanses you constantly from all sin. Now, let's leave Job and come back to John. So John was telling every... Now, what I want to bring out from that is this. Every seed that is inside everybody that is not removed, okay, will definitely germinate bad fruit one day. Unfortunately, seeds are funny in that if you plant one corn, you will reap at least 200. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So a lot of believers will not get to the place of glory, not because God does not desire it, but they don't understand that there is a seed that men often pick as they go around every day that needs a constant cleansing away from their systems. Believe me. So he said, now, there's one scripture, did we read it from Hebrews chapter, did we read that? Yeah, Hebrews chapter 5. So he said, in the days of his flesh, talking about Jesus, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud cryings and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because he feared. Now, there's a tape we preach when we're talking about the power of the Spirit. We titled it The Fear of Evil. Get that tape. We discuss this thing further in it. Now, the point I want to bring up from there is this. That Jesus himself, now remember the wages of sin is death. And he's talking about who could deliver him from death. But how did he overcome it? He said, through offering up of prayers and supplications with loud cries. And John said, if we confess our sins, he is able to forgive and to cleanse. There are two different things. Now, this is what he's saying. Every day in life, if you are going to go forward with God, this is why I'm preaching this whole message. This is how you train to reign. You must constantly get better. Do you follow the point I'm making? That is, God every day will be exposing parts of your life to you. And there's an interesting thing that my pastor in Lagos taught us once, which I can never forget. He called it the principle of networks. Now, I don't have time to build up all the doctrine around it. But he said, if you are closely associated with certain people, and you notice that in their life, a kind of iniquity rises up once in a while, he said, then suspect that you have the seed of the same iniquity in you. It just has not yet manifested. He said, that's why he said, if anyone is overtaken in a fault, those of you who are spiritual, he said, restore such a one. He said, what was the last word? Fearing, lest you yourself be tempted, that you should be afraid that if he can, me safe, I'm not safe. But he's not saying that, it doesn't mean that you use it as an excuse. He said that a man will therefore look at it and pray one single prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful thing in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Let me tell you something. Every day in life, God will allow circumstances to show you evidence of the seed so that the seed can be killed early so that it will not bear fruit later. You've heard stories maybe like Jim Baker, number one televangelist in the U.S., one day came crashing down. You've heard stories like, now we'll talk about David. Do not think that David, that was his first encounter with the fact that that seed was in there. No. What will have happened is that long ago, God will have revealed matter to him that, look at you, something's wrong with you in this area. And he said, I beg, I'm trying, I'm not perfect. And he brushes aside, and the seed is buried. Too bad. The day we wake up, the guy will already be king, established, enthroned. Then he will take a small girl from a poor soldier and kill the soldier in the process. And his children will go for it. His concubines will go for it. Disgrace everywhere, scatter the whole kingdom because of one seed that he could have uprooted 30 years ago, which he did not. Listen, the Bible says something clearly. The prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. Now, what was he saying? That is, if Satan will come and be able to get a man, he must find something in him. And God was just saying simply, every time I expose light to you, I will show you where the kingdom is not reigning over yet in your life. Listen, I've told you, most people who criticize have not been under the circumstances. Kanifao Emi has never ruled. That's why his criticism does not impress me. He has never been a local government chairman. He has never been a state legislator. The guy has never been a state governor. He has never been a senator. He has never been a minister. He has his assignment, cursing the king. So let him stay there and be doing it. But he does not impress me. He has not been touched with the feelings of their infirmities. I like the way somebody embarrassed the man the other day. The Senate was doing what is wrong. They paid you 5 million naira to go and represent them. You took the money. And that was under, what was his name? The first Senate president of, under this, was it NYRM? Was it either NYRM or Okadigbo? I think it was Okadigbo's Senate presidency. Look, the man does not impress me. Everybody can shout when he has not been there. The Bible said that we have a high priest who has been touched with the feelings. That is, who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, a lot of people who preach righteousness, they are very common on campus. Aluta. Aluta boys are irresponsible, but don't trust them with 5 kobo. Once you see somebody call himself a communist, he's a liar. You understand my point? He's lying. Poverty is worrying him, and the moment you show him wealth, he will forget communism. What am I preaching? My message is that somebody going to a great place in life, God gives him an assignment. Every day I will expose you. That is, if you're honest with yourself, you will find out that, oh boy, I am jealous. One day, a friend of yours will do something that you have not done, and something you will stay up. Wait in self. Once you say wait in self, God say, just draw curtain and say, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Because if you don't pray that prayer now, you will pray it by force later. That's how God does his things, though. I'm explaining that these are the thorns that prevent. Listen, Jesus said that this is the way the kingdom of God is. The sower went forth to sow. Am I right? Then amongst a particular kind of sower that received the word, the word got root, but when it sprang up, the seeds of the thorns were there also. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is, as the word was coming forth, the seed of thorns were already planted. So those ones sprang up afterwards and choked the word, so it bore no fruit. Do you get my point? That many people that God would have taken to great places, God can't. You know, God said they fear embarrassment. You don't know that. He don't look the guy. I said, this one, he will disgrace me. When Satan comes after him, there will be nothing I can do. So we leave the guy small. Do you get my point? That is, if anybody, especially a believer, does anything wrong, before you shout, how can? Simple prayer. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there is any such thing inside me and lead me in the path of righteousness, oh God. That's what John said, that if you pray like that, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and they remove the seed. That's what he calls the cleansing of all unrighteousness. Listen, God has no problem. I was talking to one brother the other day. You know, we were discussing about, you know, there are people. Actually, we're talking about some big guys in Nigeria, somewhere in the south of the south zones. Popular name. And he said, those men are so rich. You know, talking about, you know, maybe somebody's believing God for money. You're believing God for 1 million naira, 2 million. And if you feel like you are large in heart, you are dealing in 50 million naira, 100 million. So those guys count 100 million naira the way you count maybe 100 naira. It's not money to them. That is, each time they deal in cash, they are dealing $50 million, $100 million. So you understand my point? So we said that. I told him that sometimes I will just look like, say, God. Even how 1/4 of this kind of money, you can't even drop it for man. Which one be your own self? What is 1/4? 1%. That's what the brother and I were discussing. He told me that, now wow, that if you see some great plans he has to be a blessing to people, and 3.5 million naira will solve the whole thing. Hey, could you all look like God? Which one you know deserve? And I told him, I said, I have also thought like that. And I have realized one thing, that God just looks and says, if I want to drown you with dollars now, I can. And you know, it's not an effort. That is, I will just instruct that guy. I say, call this guy, give him $10 million, and he will not be able to resist. Talk to men who are really, really big. You will know that things like that happen and they can't resist. God could do it. But why has he not done it? Many, many reasons. Okay? One of them is that the road is not smooth. There are many reasons. But one of them, of course, there are issues of time. There's what is called giving me food that is convenient for me. So that I will not become too rich and take the name of the Lord in vain. Now, that is not just like, say, God, you decrease for head. No, that's not what he's saying. No. Believe me. You know, there are people who are walking a narrow path on their way to destiny. All right? So that they will be a blessing to their generation. Satan will give them money and go and plant them somewhere else. And they will never release the gifts that they are to their generation. And God doesn't like such waste of, you know, we are the ones that money impresses to him. Money is not anything. Do you get my point? Money is not anything. Money is nothing. If you see the way God spends, you will know that money is nothing. No, let me explain. To put this small earth in place, God will put 100 billion galaxies around it. That's how God spends. To put one small earth in place so that it doesn't shift, God will put 100 billion galaxies around it. Do you know what that means? That means to transport one man from Lagos to Enugu, God sends 1,000 aircraft to accompany him. That's he spends. Really? He can. No, really, to spend money, don't ever shout on anybody for spending money. All right? Just know that your problem is poverty. You don't have it. That's why you're talking like that. No, it's true. It's true. It's true. Poor people are very, 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 very annoying people sometimes. You know what I'm saying? I've delivered myself now. Can you believe this man spent 100 million to buy a car? When you tell me, I say, he has it. Obviously, he has it. And you know, I have nobody car for 100 million naira. I don't have it. That's the simple reason. And don't pretend like you won't if I give you 100. So just go away. Don't come and lead me into his sin. I beg. I don't want trouble. Anyway, so I told the brother, I said, listen, God can do this and not bat an eyelid. But why? I said, I don't know why he hasn't done it. I said, however, the assignment is get ready for when he wants to do it. Do you get my point? God has no, believe me, God can make you a billionaire tomorrow morning. I don't mean next year, tomorrow morning. He can. The problem he has is heart failure. Some hearts will fail rapidly, Boza. They are giving him the money. You understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So, but what he's saying is that I don't just pour forth blessing. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is first able to build you up and then deliver to you your own inheritance. That's how God does it. So this word that has come for today, God said, listen, I could make you a billionaire, but I don't want, as righteous as you are, listen, don't think that me, I can't do like Solomon. Because if I give you half of his wealth, oh boy, you go do 5 times. Oh. Shane, now 1,000. You go reach 3,000. Oh. Say, I'm a man of God. Say, shut up. What have you seen? But God said, don't worry. What I do is this. I will give you the word of his grace. It will constantly cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So that one day, I will give you the wealth of Solomon. And without experiencing, you will say, there is nothing better than for a man to enjoy life with the wife of his youth. Listen, there is no righteous man on the earth. You understand my point? It's only the word of God that keeps a man in righteousness. There's no man that doesn't have a tendency. I remember when I was in university, some people said, you have a tendency to be fat. All of them are fat, fatter than me now. You understand my point? If I have lost 4-5 kg this year alone, there's nothing like tendency. You've seen very poor people who don't have tendency to be fat. How can a poor man have a tendency to be fat? How can you have a tendency when you can't eat food? Are you getting my point? Hey, all these tendencies. Look, there's no tendency for unrighteousness. Believe me. Anyone who the word of God is not constantly cleansing has a tendency. Do you follow me? That's why Paul said, take heed. He said, he that thinks he stands should take heed lest he falls. What does it mean to take heed? Paul said, if anybody is overtaken in a fault, those of you that think you stand, this is a prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. He said, who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults, and also keep your servant back from presumptuous sins. Do you get my point? And Jesus himself, that was the principle. The quotation we're giving just now was from the life of Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, with loud cries, go and get that message. I preach something similar to this, what we call the fear of evil. Men have to understand that evil destroys. But my emphasis today is this: the seed of evil. That man, I think, is George MacDonald. He said, David had the seed, and I'm using my own words now, of killing, of adultery and murder in him, but he did not know it was there. And I'm daring to say, God revealed to him. I mean, for example, tell you, he that hated his brother is a murderer. No, the little things that God will use to reveal to you, say, boy, if I give you power, you will be worse than Tafa Balogun. And he said, not me. He said, yesterday, how much was it? 500 naira. What did you do with the money? It is not time to try. Don't forget the power of grace. He said, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Meaning that when the word comes forth, if a man recognizes and acknowledges his sin, God said, I by myself cleanse him from all unrighteousness. So that time will now come. I will actually give him power. And he will not understand why he's not walking into iniquity like everybody else. That is, the thing is not just in him. I hope you understand what I'm saying. You know, there's something I just want to, let me just close with this. It's a spiritual principle I want to just explain to us. Listen, this is where life is. You heard me say this before. Satan pushes people. Do you understand what I'm saying? And God also pushes people. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they stood, we stood the king with the threat of fire right in their faces. It was not them. When Jesus went to the cross, it was not him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Also, when Judas betrayed Jesus Christ, it was not him. Are you getting what I'm saying? What was their own part in it? The seed that they sowed. The seed that was in their heart. When it was time to face the king, a spirit entered into them and stood them on their feet. Go and read Ezekiel chapter 2. He says, such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. And when I saw it, I fell. That's chapter 1, around verse 26, towards the end anyway. He said, then I heard a voice saying to me, son of man, stand to your feet that I might speak to you. He said, look, a man fell. How can you tell a man who fell? Not but the tripped him. He saw something bigger than him and he went under the power. He said, when I heard that voice, the spirit with that voice jumped inside me and set me on my feet. And I began to hear him speak to me. Are you getting my point? It is the power of the spirit that puts somebody up against challenges. That to the, look, you see all these suicide bombers in Iraq? You find in Israel? The one that have gone to London now? I was listening to somebody talk today. He said, you see, the Muslims are passionate about their religion. I said, you are talking out of ignorance. Men are possessed. You are telling me they are passionate. People talk a lot out of ignorance. The Muslims are not passionate. They are possessed with the suicidal spirit. Don't tell me about passion. If you listen, there's a transference of spirit that comes by words. A man's father sits him at home and said, the Jew is bad. Americans are Satan. Britons are their brothers. He keeps telling him, the spirit is jumping on those words into that boy's heart. When I hear Christians talk, I just look and say, you don't know spiritual things. So that's why you're talking like this. No, they make it look as if Christians are not passionate. That's their problem. Listen, don't ever compare the power of grace with the power of Satan. With all of that, who's going to come to an end? Islam. Christianity will keep going strong. Of the increase of his kingdom and of peace, there shall be no end. Men are possessed with spirits. You are telling me they are passionate. Oh, so the madman on the street is passionate about walking naked. The man is passionate about exposing himself. It's not so. The man is mad. He is possessed of a spirit. That's the way life is. Some of the men you call passionate, they are possessed by something greater than them. When Jesus was going to face the cross, he went to the... Go and watch this film again. The Passion of the Christ. The man cried. I mean, the thing was hard. I like what Derek Prince said. Derek Prince said his sweat was not thick like blood. No. Real blood was dropping. Nobody touched him. Blood was dropping. And what was he saying? I can't. That's all he was saying. I can't. This is too much. God, but your will has to be done. And then the spirit entered into him and set him on his feet. The Bible said angels came and strengthened him. Didn't you read that? When it was time to betray Jesus Christ also, He says Satan entered into Judas. You think armed robbery is easy? It's not. Oh. But that's the power of the fruit. All the man has in his heart is a seed. Do you get my point? You see, Satan fills the heart of those Arabs and Muslims with hatred. And hatred is the closest relative of the mother spirit. And it takes several more spirits, more dangerous than himself. One of them is spirit of anesthesia. He can't feel pain again. That's what I think. So they enter that young man. The guy straps himself with bombs, with the detonator in his hand. And he goes there and blows it. And you think, say, in a clear eye. If you think it's clear eye, you don't know anything. And I hear Christians say that the Muslim is passionate. Oh God, passion. There is no passion in it. It's called Satan. You understand my point? Satan moved him. Do you understand the point I'm making? Satan moves people. Why am I saying all of this? If you have the right seed inside you, then the right spirit will move you when the time comes. The time, look, who begged Joseph to become ruler? They conferred it upon him. Looking at the cousin last time, I said, wife. Which prayer, prisoner they pray for wife, say, God, what is your will about the woman that we marry? Have you ever seen a man, life imprisonment, praying that kind of prayer? So, God, speak, which woman? Joseph did not have that opportunity. Yet, God gave him the woman. That obviously made his life happy because he lived to be very old. 120-something years. You don't live like that if one woman is harassing you seriously. And gave birth to Ephraim and Manasseh. They didn't ask his counsel. That is, look, Pharaoh is like God. And Joseph is like you and I. And this God will take. Are you getting my point? What does a man, what does a woman need to do to get ready for the throne? Get the kingdom birthed inside your life. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and every other thing in life. Let me say this again. You are not living in a disadvantaged environment in any form. Get my point. Anywhere you are is good land. God does not depend on surrounding circumstances to bless anybody. He commands circumstances to cooperate with his blessing. Do you get my point? When we say creator God, that is what we mean. That is, I can make water flow in a wilderness. Do you understand what that means? That they will say there is nothing good in this land. I will make those who, God said, I dry up rivers. Where they said good was, I will dry it up and bring it to where they said there was no good. Get my point? All God is saying is that where is the heart that is ready? So Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. That word is able to build you up and to give you your own inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. Let us pray.